Now let's go to the exhibits at the 40th Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. You'll hear some interviews conducted by me with my Sony MZR70 mini disc recorder and a few that were conducted by JJ Meadow of ACB Radio Interactive from booth 77 at the exhibits.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Kleinstecker. I'm founder and president of Handyworks. We make organizational products for the blind and visually impaired.
It's good to speak with you, Brian, and you were actually in one of our news briefs for this program a couple of weeks ago because of the Braille Note case that you're doing. We should probably start with that. We've all been wanting a case for so long that we can carry our units in without taking them out of the case. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your one.
Well, we wanted to design a case that was very functional and also very sleek and nice looking so that a person could use it in a professional setting. But our main goal was to make it very functional and high quality, and I think from the reviews we've been getting, I think we've achieved that goal.
It's genuine leather, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. It is. It's high quality leather.
It's got that feel and smell of, real high quality, sort of business type of material.
Yes, yes. It's high quality leather, and we've added a lot of features that people have been asking for. Such as a zippered pocket in the flap that you can store items. We also have an attachable case. It's optional, but it attaches right to the case to keep other items. And we also have a feature that when you shut the unit off and then close the little flap on the side, it actually keeps it in the off position so it can't be accidentally turned on if you put it in the backpack or something like that.
Yeah, that's important because that on-off switch is really easily bumped, I've found, particularly because of where it's located, and it's quite a loose switch. And you've got these little Velcro flaps that cover things like the serial port and the infrared port and the PCMCIA slot, and they just pull down so that you can easily access those things.
That's right. We wanted to make everything accessible, and so we've created flaps that can be easily pulled down to make everything accessible from the case.
Okay. And the pocket is suitable, I guess, for carrying some of those flash cards, for instance, that, you know, or they might be PCMCIA cards, they might be a modem or the memory cards, so you can just store them in there.
Exactly. Yeah, you can put the memory cards in there, discs, and other items as well.
It's also interesting that you've set them up in such a way that the thumb keys are very easily accessible, and so you just rip off there's a kind of a Velcro attachment to the lid, and then all your keyboard's exposed. There's a strap that kind of sits just above the space bar, I think, keeping it secure.
Yes, yes. When it's in the case, the unit actually goes into the case from the back, and then it's all secured with Velcro, and it's made in such a way that it stays in there securely. And even with the attachable case, even after you fill it up with quite a few items, when it's pretty stuffed, I mean, you can literally jump up and down and it'll stay put.
Yeah, you can actually turning the unit upside down, or sort of vertically, so that the case was at the bottom, and it's rock solid there. It seems to me it would be an ideal size for putting the power pack in.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the power pack fits into the lid that folds over the unit, and then with the attachable case, you can put your other units. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of the other products that you're displaying here.
Well, we actually started out in 1985. I'm an orientation and mobility instructor by trade, and I started making cane holders so my students would have a place to put their canes instead of having to put them on the floor or on a table all the time. And then I started getting a lot of requests for them. And from there, we started to move into other products. For instance, we just came out with a large print a checkbook for large print checks. It's a nice leather checkbook as opposed to those flimsy plastic ones you get from the bank. We also have a line of fanny packs. We call them handy packs here at Handy Works, but we have a full line of handy packs. We also make the signs for guide dogs that say various things. They fit into a sleeve that fits right over the harness handle. And they say things like, do not pet me, I am working. Do not feed or flirt with me, if you want to say it with a little humor. Ignore me, I'm a working guide dog. Ask her before you pet me. Of course, ask him before you pet me. And it's just a way that, you know, you can help to keep people from petting your dog when it's in harness.
Cool. You've got a website that's all e-commerce capable, I hear.
That's correct. It's www.handyworks.com. Handyworks is spelled with an I, HANDIWORKS. And it is an e-commerce site. We have a secure web server, so items can be ordered over the internet, or you can call our 800 number, which is 800-331-6123, and we'd be happy to take an order over the phone or help you in any way we can to answer any questions.
It just goes to show what can happen when you find a niche market and cater to it, I guess.
Well, I think that's true. I've always believed that the market for blind and visually impaired has been an underserved market, and our whole goal really is to come up with products. You know, we listen very carefully to our customers, and if there's a product out there that a person has wanted for a long time and not been able to find, if we think there's a market for it, we'll make it ourselves, and that's what we've been doing with many of our products. Because we want them to have the features that the blind and visually impaired people want, whether it be a wallet or a fanny pack. We're going to be coming out with a line of backpacks and all sorts of items to help stay organized and to travel well.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you for your time, and I appreciate that.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Gary Walker of AI Squared, nice to see you. And how's the convention been going for you?
Very good, very good.
Yeah, do people come and buy things, or are they mainly browsing and then they go back home?
No, mainly it's browsing. Yeah. I display Zoom text, show what it could do, how it would benefit a low-vision computer user.
Right. We haven't talked on Main Menu about Zoom Text before, so for those who, very few I would imagine, who don't know what Zoom Text is and what it can offer, just give us a brief introduction to what it can do.
Sure. Zoom Text is a computer software for low vision users. It is a screen magnification and screen reading software. So it will magnify the screen up to 16 times its original size. It also has screen reading features that will read back your Windows icons, menu bars, text documents, emails, web pages, and it's just an adaptive software for low vision users.
You know, one of the things that I've come across when I've heard rehab instructors and technology instructors talking is they talk about at what point really is it unproductive for a user to continue to try and access information off a PC in the visual domain. I mean, if someone's needing to do 16 times magnification, can they be productive, you know, checking an email?
They can. A lot of people still like to use what vision they have, and that's why we go. Other programs can go up to 32 times. That's why we limited it to 16 times. Once you get up past that, you're only seeing one item on the screen at a time, and it gets very disconcerting. To answer your question, once you get up to 16, we feel that you should go to a screen reader.
Is speech quite a new development for Zoom Text?
For Zoom Text, yes. We brought out the screen reading portion of Zoom Text Extra in 1996. So we're still relatively new to the screen reading portion.
Do people have a choice at this stage of what synthesizers they have access to?
Currently with ZoomText, you can reship with two speech engines. And there are others available that ZoomText will work with if they have it installed on your system.
Right, so it's HAPI compliant, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so if you've got, say, a copy of Eloquence that's the
correct.
Genuine SAPI article, you'd be able to use that with
correct.
ZoomText.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
I sort of read around the place that there's a little bit of, shall we say, friction since the amalgamation of JAWS and Magic, or the synergies between those two, about the degree to which JAWS supports ZoomText. What's the story there?
Well, our belief is that the two programs do coexist on the system. There are some minor hotkey conflicts, but our findings are that they do work together. They are very load sensitive as far as ZoomText needs, or I'm sorry, JAWS needs to be loaded first and then ZoomText. But other than that, our findings are that they do run well together.
And yet I understand there has been some advice to the contrary from Freedom Scientific. Is that the problem?
We did hear that. We sent out an open letter to our users regarding them, telling them of that.
Do you recommend one screen reader over another in terms of ZoomText compatibility, or should it not make a difference?
It shouldn't make a difference.
Yeah.
It's up to the end user.
Right. How much does ZoomText sell for?
For level one, which is the magnification only, that's $395.
Mm-hmm.
And for level two with the screen reading is $595.
Is there any sort of upgrade plan so that if someone chooses to start with level one and then move on, can they?
Oh yes, they could upgrade, yes, at any point. Actually, it's basically the same price-wise. It would be a $200 upgrade.
Okay.
The only difference is that they'd be paying shipping twice. So, but we do have numerous users doing just that.
What's your latest version now?
We are currently at version 7.06.
Because you guys have been around for a very long time.
Yes, we started in 1988.
Yeah, and that is a long time in the context of computers.
Yes.
Have you got anything in the works that you can tell us about? Is there anything big you're currently working on?
We are currently working on version 8.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to have that released first quarter of next year. Mm. And the biggest improvement we're going to have is we're going to handle the screen reading portion of ZoomText a little bit differently. So we are looking to have a much better screen reader. Not that the screen reader we have now is not good, but we want to make improvements on it.
I'm interested in that because if you're going to be investing a lot of development resources in beefing up the screen reader further, will you consider selling the screen reader component to the totally blind market at some point?
We have considered that, yes. We have talked about a standalone screen reader. I'm not sure how far along we've gotten in the process, but it is something we have considered.
And if people want to find out more about ZoomText, are there demos that people can download from the web, for instance, anything like that?
Yes, there is. We have a 30-day trial version, and it is at our website, www.aisquared.com.
Well, we look forward to keeping in touch with you as version 8 comes closer. I appreciate you having a chat with us.
Thank you.
Okay.
As we continue our tour of the exhibits at the 40th Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind, we're going to spend quite a bit of time now looking at the Freedom Box. Now, the Freedom Box is a product that we covered when it was at a conceptual stage, when we spoke with Mike Calvo of In-House Radio Networks, but the Freedom Box is now built, and we're going to be spending quite a bit of time looking at this for two reasons. Firstly, it is a brand new product, and there weren't too many of those at the exhibit hall this year. But secondly, it's my view that this product is going to do one of two things. It's either going to revolutionize in a way that perhaps has never been seen before access to the internet for those who are not financial enough or perhaps techy enough to be computer users, or it's going to flop quite severely. To me, it's going to be one of those two extremes. I don't think there'll be any middle ground with the Freedom Box. And so that's why we're going to spend a little bit of time, quite a bit of time in fact, firstly hearing from Mike Calvo about the product and then hearing a demo of the Freedom Box, which has now been built. So let's join Mike in the middle of this demonstration.
Okay, it can scan documents, it can browse the internet, it can send and receive email, it can listen in, you can listen to internet audio, all these things for $999. Oh yeah, the scanning package, I'm sorry. The scanning package is $200 for the scanner and the software. So, you know, however, if you take advantage of our rebate programs when you purchase the product, right now we're running a rebate program where if you sign up with our service for 3 years, which if you're going to buy a Freedom Box, you're probably going to do that anyway, it's going to be $21.95 a month, and you're going to get a $400 rebate when you buy your Freedom Box. So the entire package, including the scanning software, is going to run you a little under $800. That's amazing compared to the $3,000 that you're going to pay for a computer. And this thing, you can start surfing the net and doing all your stuff 10 minutes after you plug it into the wall. You know, the other thing is how many of these companies will come out and install your computer for you. In the United States, we have over 4,000 national installers and 500 installers in Canada that will gladly come out for $99 and install your Freedom Box. So basically, that's the long and short of what the Freedom Box does. Let me give you a second about the goal of the company, and then I'm going to go on to our demo, which is, I'm sure, what this recording is all about. And basically, our view is that the disabled community has to get together as consumers. When you look at any demographic of minority that has ever achieved any kind of strength in the world, they've done it through two things. They've done it through advocacy, governmental advocacy, which we're all doing right now, and the ACB is doing a wonderful job, and so are other organizations. Everybody, we're all working together most of the time, and getting a lot done for the community. However, you know, the best way to motivate a product or service provider to do something for you is not by beating them over the head with legislation. It's by telling them, listen, I want to buy your product, and darn it, if you made the product accessible for me, I would buy it, and I'd go out and tell 500 million of my friends about it, and they'd go out and buy it too. But you know what? If right now, if there's a problem, I write to somebody, and then somebody else over there will write to somebody, and then somebody else, and they'll get two or three letters, and that'll be okay, and maybe somebody who really cares in the customer service department will run it through and look at these poor blind folks, these four customers we have, but they don't realize that there's 2.2 million totally blind people out there. There's 58 million disabled Americans with $3 trillion a year in disposable income. People that need these services brought to their front door. For years, the internet has been saying how great it is to have these products and services delivered, and they've been telling it to people who are able to get in the car and go down to the brick and mortar store. You know, we need this stuff. You know, yet they don't realize we're here. They don't realize we're here because we haven't had the opportunity to have a voice. Now we do. The internet has given us the opportunity, and no one more than ACB has proven that with ACB Radio, with the huge amount of lists that Jonathan and others have started. I mean, and there's a group here. There's a definite click in the blind community. A group of movers that are moving and doing stuff on the internet for the blind community. Not that others don't want to, it's just that economic barriers stop them. And we believe that we've stopped that now. Can you imagine the power? I'm holding in my hand a Motorola phone. This Motorola phone is awesome. It's great. It's voice controlled, it vibrates, it's GSM, it does all these wonderful things. But for me to set it up, I can't set it up unless a sighted person helps me. Okay? Now, that I can call Motorola. And maybe if I spend 2 or 3 weeks getting through all the corporate people I need to get to, I can finally get to the one person I need to speak to do that. But how many people are going to do that? I would submit to you that not many. Most people are just going to be discouraged and say, I'm not going to buy that phone again, dissed again. I'm not going to be able to get it because I'm a blind guy. However, if we had 30, 40, 50,000 blind people on the Freedom Box network, now we could take a survey. And we could say, how many of you blind folks would buy this Motorola phone if it was accessible, if the menus talked? Because most blind folks don't know that to make a Motorola phone talk would cost about 95 cents for a chip. Okay, but Motorola doesn't, it's not that Motorola's stupid, Motorola's ignorant to our needs. Okay, because nobody's ever stopped to them and stopped and told them, hey, this is what we need. And our goal at Freedom Box is to educate product and service providers by creating that bridge to narrow that digital divide that is every day widening. Okay, and we need to do this, and we need to do this together, and by coming together online and providing a community, a platform for product and service providers to talk to us and us to talk to them. Okay, so that's basically where I'm at with what we do and what our product does, and I'm going to go ahead and demo it now. I'm wearing a pair of headphones here that have a microphone on them, and behind me I have the Freedom Box. The Freedom Box comes with speakers. They're not the speakers you're listening to today because, of course, we're at the conference, and we need some speakers with a sub and everything else here. So the microphone has a little switch on the cable. You can listen to, and the switch turns the microphone on and off. So as I give a command, I turn on the microphone, give a command, and turn off the microphone. The very important thing that I'll show you at some point during this demonstration is that the Freedom Box does not need to be trained. Okay, so it is not voice recognition that needs to be trained. It is speaker independent voice recognition. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and wake up the Freedom Box here, and I'm going to go into the assistant. The assistant is the main part of the Freedom Box, I guess a lot like a task manager. Here is where you hear what programs are open, what programs are closed, and basically how you navigate the Freedom Box. So we're going to do that. We're going to say, assistant.
You are located in the application menu. Please make your selection from the following commands. Mail, chat, browser, audio library, favorites, news center, employment center, travel agency, shopping mall, bill payment services, online banking, TV listings, entertainment guide, weather information service, help, exit Freedom Box.
Okay, so at any time, now if you want an explanation of that, I'm not going to do it because it'll go into this long, drawn-out speech of what everything does that was in that menu. But if you want help, you can say help, and of course the product will tell you what it does. Now I'm going to send an email real quick with the Freedom Box so you can see how easy it is for a person to send an email. And remember, I'm not touching anything. I'm simply turning on and off a microphone as I speak to the product. Mail.
Starting mail. Please wait a moment. You are located in the main menu. What would you like to do? Send a message. Browse folders. Open the address book. Exit.
Now I can interrupt this at any time. I'm just letting it, for the sake of the demonstration, I'm letting it play. So we're going to send a message.
Please choose what you want to enter. Recipient. Subject. Carbon copy. Body. Add attachment. Send.
So we're going to do menu. We're going to do recipient.
Please select the way you will enter the recipient's name. That can be done using either address book or character by character directly.
We're not going to do character by character today, but if you want to do character by character, it's simple. You just tell it, you can use the military alphabet, Alpha, Beta, Charlie, Delta, you know, Echo, Foxtrot, that kind of thing. And basically, it will understand you. Or if someone sends you an email, you can just reply to them and add them to your address book. And that's probably the easiest way to do it. Address book.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Address book.
Please select the way you will enter the recipient's name.
Ah. Address book.
Character by character directly.
Address book.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Please select the way you will enter the recipient's name.
Address
that
book.
That can be done using either address book or character
One
by
moment.
Character.
Give me a second here. Oh, this is nice. Address book.
Okay. Please say the recipient's name from the address book.
Mike Calvo.
Would you like to send the message to
Mike Calvo?
Yes.
Okay, please wait.
It's a little confusing for the voice here sometimes because of all the noise back here.
Please choose what you want to enter. Recipient.
Okay, so now it's added the recipient. Now I can do a I can do a subject, and I'll do that real quick.
Add attachment.
Subject.
Send. Please enter subject line.
So we're going to call it test. Tango. Echo. Tango. Sierra. Oops,
sorry,
that's not the way
I
you spell
understand.
It. Delete last character. Delete last symbol.
Okay.
Read subject.
Now subject is...
Sierra.
S.
Tango.
T.
End of subject.
Okay. Do you want to send message with subject?
Test.
Yes.
Okay, now proceeding.
Okay.
Subject has been confirmed.
Okay, now we're going to record the body of the message. And you don't have to send, you don't have to put a subject on the message. It'll just say this is a recorded message from a Freedom Box user in the test if you and in the subject line if you don't do that.
Send.
So we're going to say body.
Please say your message, then press any key on the keypad or say end of recording to stop.
This is a test message at the ACB conference. End of recording.
You said...
This is a test message at the ACB conference. End of recording.
Yep. Would you like to keep this recording?
Yes.
Please choose what you want to enter.
Okay, now we can continue to do that, or we can just say send.
Subject. Proceeding. Your message has been successfully sent. Returning to the mail menu.
And that's it. That was
included in the main menu.
Was too. That wasn't too painful, was it?
No, not really. It's
okay, considering the fact that I didn't have to learn a darn thing about computers to do it. Now, while the system. Now we can go here and we can say exit.
You are about to exit the mail client. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, exiting the mail
she
client.
She just sounds so nice and inviting. It's
mail
like
exited. You are located.
Okay, now it returns me to the. Now I could have just as easily left the mail client open, and if I get an email message, the cool thing is if I get an email message and the client is open or not, I'm notified you have an email message. So I can always conserve on memory by not opening the email client, or I can just keep it open so I can just jump to it at any time by saying mail. So would you guys like to hear some audio maybe? Anyone?
Yes.
Anyone? So let's go to browser.
Information service. Starting browser. Please wait a moment.
Please select what you would like to do. You may choose to access the demo page or open a new internet page by entering its address.
Let's go to the demo page. Demo page.
Okay. Welcome to the demonstration menu. Here you may select one of the following. MP3 music. Live radio and music, links to the live internet, quit.
Okay, what we've done here is I've basically set up a demo of three different things that are in the Freedom Box. One of them is browsing live content. Another thing is live radio, which goes into your audio library. And the other is MP3s. You can put CDs into the Freedom Box and rip your own MP3s into it so you can have your audio library right in the system. Okay, and that's not going to come out in our first release because we're still testing that, but it will be there and it is possible. So we're going to say live radio.
Okay. here you may select one of the following. You are now in the menu that demonstrates some of the live music and radio stations available on the internet. Please select one of the following. Audio information services. Live music. Main menu.
Audio information services.
Welcome to the audio information services. Please say the audio information service you want to hear.
Well, there's so many of them, but it doesn't say them all, so I'll ask it. I'll say, help.
Please say the audio information service you want to hear. ACB Radio, Disability Program Hour 1, Disability Program Hour 2, Living Without Limits, Book, Cambridge Forum, Hands on Cooking, New York Times, Our World, Parade, Time, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, BBC, Chips and Bites, Discover Science, Imagination Theater, National Enquirer, Sports News, Time Magazine, US News and World Report. Say back to return to the live menu. To exit the Freedom Box browser, immediately say quit.
There's a bunch more stuff that we have available. As a matter of fact, we have 2,500 different audio sources available. But just for laughs and giggles here, let's say...
Please say the audio information service you want to hear.
Yeah. It's just this insistent. There is, let's say, Wall Street Journal.
Do you want to hear Wall Street Journal?
Yes.
Okay, now downloading Wall Street Journal. Welcome to the Wall Street Journal. Please say the day for which you want to hear Wall Street Journal.
Monday.
Do you want to hear Wall Street Journal for Monday?
Yes.
Okay, downloading Wall Street Journal for Monday.
There you have it. The cool thing about this product also, it's going to bring radio reading services to people that have never before had it. Because of
America's newsstand of the air.
So now we can go back to the assistant.
You are located in the application menu. Please make your selection from the following commands.
Stop audio.
Audio player is shut down. You are located in the application menu.
Browser.
Please make your selection from the following commands.
Browser.
Mail. Chat.
Activating browser.
Okay, so now we're back in the browser and we can pick another source. Now, when the browser loaded the last command, it went to sleep. So, of course, what do you tell something when it goes to sleep? You say, wake up. It's sleepy. Wake up.
Okay. Please say the day for which you want to hear Wall Street Journal.
Back.
Returning to the live menu. Welcome to the audio information services. Please say the audio information service you want to hear.
Okay, so now here we can pick any of these services. The one I like hands-on cooking.
Do you want to hear hands-on cooking?
Yes.
Okay, now downloading hands-on cooking.
From the Memphis Public Library, WYPL presents Hands on Cooking, a program designed to allow the visually impaired and those with disabilities, as well as those sighted, to discover new techniques in cooking and to sample great favorite recipes and new cuisine. And now your host, Joanne Weatherall.
So, as you see, there's a lot of variations of stuff that you can listen to. Let me go back to Assistant.
You are located in the application menu. Please make your
stop audio.
Following commands. Audio player is shut down. You are located.
Now we have the chat client here also.
Please make your
and it's just like using any of these, any of the For the People or the Audio Tips chat. But it is basically an in the community chat where the community's not up and running yet. We haven't released the product yet, so there's nobody else to talk to right now. But, Jonathan, I can set up a demo for you if you need me to set it up. So, but chat is available. And I just want to run through a couple of the services that are not active yet, but just so you get an idea of what these services are going to do. Let me, for example, we're going to go to the travel agency.
Open travel agency. Please wait a moment.
Need a break from the same old? Soon, you'll be able to book that trip of your dreams right here at the Freedom Box Travel Agency. Airline tickets, cruises, even rental car reservations. By the way, we reserve the right not to rent cars to the blind unless they have a valid driver's license. Just joking. Thanks for visiting the travel agency. Check back often to see when the service will be available. Returning to the application menu.
I was going
to
kick out of that.
Travel agency exited.
Now there is one part of the thing I didn't demonstrate. I apologize. It's called our news service. Our news service, remember I told you earlier that we can listen to different text-based stuff, different text-based audio and newspapers and in our job center that will probably be released with our first release, you'll be able to actually go in there and go through job articles, job-related articles, and actually go through want ads. We've partnered with Eastside Career Networks to provide a lot of this information for the community. So we're real excited about that. And as a matter of fact, I'll be meeting with them next week to finalize the interface and everything. We should be ready for when we release in August. So let's go to the news center.
Opening news center. Please wait a moment.
So you can understand how it works.
Welcome to the Freedom Box News Center. Here you can find the latest news from various news providers in text format. You can read, save, and even print articles in this section. Please choose a provider from the following. ARA, CNN, New York Times. Welcome to the Freedom Box News.
So let's say ARA.
Welcome to ARA content. All news messages from ARA content are divided into several categories. There is also a special category called Hottest News. It contains the most important news from all the categories. To select the category, please say its name. You can choose one of the following categories: automotive, education, technology, hot news. Welcome to
let me guess, everybody wants to hear about automotive, right? Technology.
Into several categories. Okay, downloading category. Technology.
Welcome to the technology category.
You can choose one of the following articles. Article 1.
Who are they? Why do I need one? And where can I find one?
Article 2.
Choosing a telephone service.
Article 3.
Internet helps weather get more local.
Article 4.
Cyber love, romantic emails, internet interludes.
Article 5.
Survey shows U.S. business not prepared for e-risks.
To select the article, please say its number.
What should we use? 4.
Okay, downloading article number 4.
cyberlove, romantic emails, internet interludes.
Article.
Fooling around online, can savage careers and sync companies, Ara, think email is a safe and speedy way to send cyber love greetings? Think again. In the age of email, kiss and tell takes on new meaning. Hit the wrong key after composing an intimate love note, and your hot message could land on the cold screens of your supervisors, colleagues, or customers. If your beloved forwards your message, your electronic expression could be shared with millions of strangers. Send your cyber love note on company time, and you could trigger a workplace lawsuit.
Boy. But, so, the cool thing here is, now, this is the voice, this is the eloquent voice, and we can change the speed and the pitch and all that stuff. But we can also use the other voice that will be provided with the standalone unit, and that is the voice that's from SpeechWorks called Speechify. It's a very human-sounding voice, and you can't change the speed on that one or anything, but it just sounds, it's very, very pleasurable to listen to. And I don't have a demo of that with me here, because right now I'm running the Windows client, which is the other thing. You'll be able to purchase a Windows version of the software to turn any Windows machine into a Freedom Box, but unfortunately the voice that the other voice is not available. We have to use Eloquence on that. If you wanted to go to the next article, you just say next. Now, as you hear, there's a little music going on in the background.
Okay, downloading next article.
That's basically a little piece of music telling you that the machine is doing something. So you're never left in the dark, no pun intended, as to what's going on.
Title.
Survey shows U.S. business not prepared for risks.
Article.
Old-fashioned insurance helps cut high-tech losses.
Now let's
say, Ara, think your organization.
Let's say this is boring. Quiet.
Think again. If industry giants like okay.
Yeah, you took your time there, buddy. Assistant.
You are located in the application menu. Please make your selection from the following commands: Mail, Chat, Browser, Stop Browser. Audio library, favorites, news center, Bose news center.
Oh, see? Now, center. See, when something is open, it brings a prompt in that says to close it. So, close news center.
Bill payment services. News center is closed. You are located in the application menu. Please make your selection from the following commands.
Exit Freedom Box.
Mail. Chat. Browser.
Oh, I know you don't want me to leave, honey, but browser. I gotta go. Exit Freedom Box.
Favorites.
Exit Freedom Box.
Employment Center. Travel Agency. Shopping Mall.
Exit Freedom Box.
Online Banking.
Actually, it's getting...
Are you sure you want to exit Freedom Box?
Yes.
Thank you for using Freedom Box. Goodbye.
The website, you can purchase the product on the web at www.freedombox.cc. For those of you who don't have web access, you can contact us toll-free at 877-661-3785. That's 877-661-3785. We're certainly not opposed to going to do a demo for a small group. That is not a problem. We would appreciate it, though, for monetary reasons. If you got a couple of groups together that would like to see us in a couple of days, we're doing that right now. This is the only way that we are going to be able to get this product out there is by word of mouth and by people participating and spreading the word about Freedom Box. We invite you to do so. We ask you to do so. We're here to serve the community because we want to build the community. We want to narrow that digital divide. And again, the product is $999. We're running a special right now. What happens is you're going to get your Freedom Box. In the Freedom Box, there's going to be a couple of things besides the product. There's going to be some paperwork. There's going to be a contract that if you want to sign up with us for 3 years, the cost of it is $21.95. okay, for per month for access to the community, which includes your 4,000 national dial-up numbers, okay, in the United States and Canada, and it includes access to the community. Okay, later on this year, in about 60 days, we'll be providing, we just set up a deal with a DSL provider. We'll be providing DSL, and the price is to be announced, but it'll probably be around $50 for DSL access. For those of you who don't, if you sign with us for 3 years, you're going to go ahead and you're going to get a $400 rebate for the product, bringing the price of the product down to $599. If you sign up with us and you get dial-up service and you want DSL service later, which the unit is DSL ready or cable ready, we're not going to penalize you for that. We're not going to force you to stick with a 56 dial-up connection contract like most providers do. The other thing, now for those of you who don't have a Freedom Box, who already have a computer but don't want to buy the standalone unit, the product is going to cost $99 for the software and for the headphone with the microphone that attached to it. Your cost is going to be $9.95 a month. However, sometimes it's better to go with our internet dial-up service if you're using dial-up, because most folks are paying about $20 for dial-up anyway. Our dial-up service is $11. Okay, when purchased with the Freedom Box, with the Freedom Box access, you're looking at $21.95 a month. That's not much more than you usually pay for regular dial-up, and you can use that anywhere, 24 hours a day, unlimited access.
So it's fun.
I have a long memory with things like that.
Quite well, thank you.
Yeah.
We're showing you our new version 6 of the Kurzweil 1000 that Nick will show you some of the features in a moment. But some of the listeners might know that Kurzweil Educational was acquired a few years ago by a company called Learnout and Housebeat, based in Belgium, which has since run upon some hard times. So the management of Kurzweil Educational has just reached an agreement with Learnout and Housebeat to purchase our company back. And we'll be going private again, we hope, by the end of this quarter. So Kurzweil Education will once again be a privately owned company, owned by the employees, and we'll be continuing to produce the software.
That must be a bit of a weight off the mind of many blind people who were worried about what the future might hold for Kurzweil Educational Systems.
I hope so, and it's a weight off the mind of those of us who are part of the company as well.
Yeah,
we're very excited about starting Kurzweil Educational version 2.
Well, yeah, it must be really tough for you guys to be working in that environment where you're not quite sure what's going to be happening from month to month.
Absolutely. It has not been a fun few months for us, but we're all very excited about the future now. And we feel like it's bright once more.
You keeping the same company name?
Yes, we will be still keeping Kurzweil Educational Systems. And in fact, all of the staff who have produced the software over the years are still with us, and we are still virtually intact as a company, the same company that we were when we started in 96.
What about the synergies, though, that were able to be taken advantage of in terms of speech technologies when you were a Learnout and Housebeat company?
Those will actually continue. As part of our purchase agreement with Learnout and Housebeat, we've reached agreement to retain rights to use any and all of their technology that we have been using in the recent past. So the RealSpeak voices and other LMX technologies that are available will continue to be used by us.
I suppose, though, it might be a bit of a blessing in disguise in that regard, because I've always felt that Learnout and Housebeat never quite got the knack of doing really fast, responsive, blind-friendly speech, to be honest.
That's a good point. But we will be able to continue to use technologies of theirs that we choose to use. So we're all very excited and wanted to share that with you today.
Well, I appreciate it. It's always good to get a scoop. It seems to me that with the big Freedom Scientific conglomerate, do you think there might be a place at some point in the future for another conglomerate to take Freedom Scientific head on? I mean, maybe another screen reader
company? If so, I would say that it would be more of a loose affiliation of individual companies working in concert rather than a massive acquisition of a number of companies like they did.
Yeah, because it seems to me that there's been very nice mutually shall we say, complimentary words going back and forth between Pulse Data and Kurzweil in recent times.
Yes, this is true.
I'm sitting here reading
with a Braille note, which is one of the devices that we can download material in version 6 to.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Yes, Humanware is distributing the Braille note from Pulse Data, and as you know, they've recently been acquired by Pulse Data.
Right.
Humanware is a company that we have a very close working relationship with. They distribute our Kurzweil 1000 and 3000 products, and in fact, we're currently doing a cross-promotional marketing with them of a combination pricing of a Braille note and a Kurzweil 1000. And I think it's quite possible that you'll see a lot more of that sort of thing in the future from us and other independent companies. Rather than merge the companies under one management group, we'd like each of the companies to maintain their own unique personality, but us find synergies that we have and ways that we can work together to create better products.
Okay, and is scanning still going to be the pretty much sole business of the new Kurzweil Educational
Systems?
Yes,
absolutely. That's where we made our name, where we developed our best products, and it is what we will be continuing.
Well, I appreciate you letting us know that. All the very best for the future, and it's nice to know that Kurzweil Educational Systems has a bright future.
Great. Well, thank you, Jonathan. Yes. Nice chatting with you.
And let me
turn you over to Nick, because he has exciting news about our latest version.
Let's talk about Kurzweil 1000 version 6, because, man, you've packed a lot of punch into this latest release. When's it actually out, by the way?
It was announced either yesterday or this morning that we are intending on beginning shipping July the 27th.
Okay. What we really should probably do a very extensive feature on that.
Yes, because there's 120 new features that differentiate version 6 from version 5.02.
Yeah.
And also, one thing that your listeners might want to know about is that there are some summer specials. There's a competitive upgrade where if you're using a competitive product and can prove ownership of it, you can get K1000 with FlexTalk speech for $395 U.S. and for $595 with the XS32 DeckTalk speech. And if you're buying the product new, it's your first time and you're not going for the competitive upgrade, the FlexTalk edition for the summer, the summer convention special, is $7.95, and the FlexTalk edition $9.95. Whereas normally $9.95 for the FlexTalk edition and $11.95 for the deck.
Wow.
And upgrades, we've changed our upgrade policy where you buy an upgrade, it's $95, and that gets you the upgrade to whatever the version you're upgrading to, but it's not not going to be trying to track people for a year's worth of two upgrades or whatever. But the people that bought the upgrade to 5 will, of course, when they bought it, it was the SMA. They will be, if I understand it, upgraded to 6.
Now, given that I have a plane to catch to New Zealand next week, and that we therefore can't go through all 120 of the new features,
I don't have them all memorized.
Tell me about some of the things you really like about version 6 that people you might think would also like.
Well, one, they might like the new RealSpeak voice, Jane, who... I'm not quite sure why I'm not getting the audio. Let's see here. Oh. don't you just love demos that blow up in your face?
The top of the page will be the back of the scanner. Page 2 of 2. The current document is more than you imagine. The speed is 200 words per minute. Read by sentence. Column identification is enabled. One page will be recognized per scan. Recognition of light text on the dark background is disabled. Speckle removal is disabled. The text quality is expected to be normal.
So that gives you a sample of her speech.
She sounds a bit like Julie Andrews, don't you think?
I have a bit of a crush on her, but my wife doesn't feel too jealous because, you know, she's just in a box.
I'd like to hear her do the lonely goat head.
I have her reading Dickens, and one of the things that's interesting with version 6, you can now generate MP3 files if you have a lame encoder. So, and we tell you where you can get it for free, but we didn't include it in because the royalty cost would have been prohibitive on a per unit basis.
Right. Now, is that real time, or can you actually crank it up so that it's more than real time when you're generating the files?
Well, if you're using the lowest audio quality, which to me is analogous to the sound of a 15/16 IPS tape versus a 1 7/8
yep.
tape, you can do it at about 8 times normal speed. As you increase the audio quality, there's 3 quality levels. Then the speed drops off somewhat.
Okay, so that's MP3 generation. And I guess that's directed at the sort of Rio type market where you can copy them onto an MP3 portable player. And
exactly. The idea is that a lot of people don't want to be, for instance, my wife doesn't like to be tied down to her computer but has a lot of stuff that she would like to read but doesn't have the willingness to sit there in front of the computer and do it. So this way, people like her can use their favorite speech engine and the speed and pitch settings that they want, and move the files down or portions of files down to the MP3 player and take it with them. It's going to be good for students, I think, too.
Yeah.
And maybe it will be better for them in the long run than putting all kinds of music on their MP3 players.
Especially what they listen to these days.
Yes.
What else have you gotten there?
Well, we can now download materials to a variety of devices, like the Braille Note that I'm caressing right now. I'm reading the Frank Zappa Companion, which I downloaded to it. I have another book about Frank Zappa in it also, The Negative Dialectics of Poodle Play by Ben Watson. And some of these books are, I've got a bunch of books down in here, and some of them are like 1,100 pages long. And it's just, to me, it's a gas to be able to read in my favorite medium and yet have it be so portable.
So the interface between K1000 and the Braille Note takes advantage of things like ActiveSync, I guess.
That's what it's using, yes. And you can send the material down in a variety of different file formats, including grade 2 Braille, so you can run it through NFB Trans.
Okay.
And speaking of NFB Trans, you can also now, when you go to print, you can change printer settings on the fly. So, for instance, at home, I have a network system between the building in which my office is and the noisy Dektok printer, noisy index basic printer, and I have a laser printer up there, and 2 computers up there, and then in the home, I have 2 computers in my studio. One a workstation and one a scan station. And my wife has a computer in her office in the home and a Braille Blazer. So if I want to send to the index, I can send to the index, tell it 40 characters per line, and not have to go mess around with nfbtrans.cnf anymore, change it on the fly. And the same with the print printer.
Okay.
And in the editor, speaking of print printer, now in the editor we can set margins, we can left and right and center justify text, we can bold, italicize, and underline text. So you have essentially somewhat of a WordPad work-alike.
Yeah, and I suppose if you've got people who don't have access to a screen reader, then you can save files in a huge number of formats.
255 file formats. And one thing that we can do that's really exciting is, this is really important in terms of 504 and 508 compliance, we can take documents. If you've got a copy of Acrobat Reader on your system, and that's in the extras file folder on the K1000 disk if you don't, AR45EN.exe, which is the Acrobat 4.5, you can have that on your system, and let's say you have a file that has been archived by a library or is a government document, and what they've done is merely scan in the image of the page and save it as a PDF file, or the whole document and save it as a PDF file, but it's the images of the page. Well, with a screen reader and Acrobat Reader and an Access plugin, you still can't access that data.
Mm.
But here, what we do is we send it to a virtual printer, which Bob Alexander has written, a virtual printer driver, and then we perform recognition on the resulting file. So we can now access those kinds, as long as it's not print protected, we can access those kinds of documents. And that's going to be great for students and professionals who need to access PDF files but have been prohibited from doing it because they're in the image format. It's also going to decrease the burden on providers of information because there's a solution.
I guess the fact that you've done that raises the question, is there any hope of some sort of ebook access through Kurzweil 1000 at some point?
Well, that would be something that perhaps Stephen Baum could comment on, and certainly we're willing to take those kinds of suggestions on the list, the Kurzweil 1000 list, or if you have a suggestion to make, you can write S. Baum. Steph, S-T-E-P-H, at kurzweil.edu.com. That's probably the best way. Steph, S-T-E-P-H, at kurzweil, K-U-R-Z-W-E-I-L, edu.com. And everybody goes, do you mean .edu? No, it's Kurzweil Educational Systems. So it's and it's definitely a profit-making company. So
That's great. Are there any other features that we should highlight now? Because I think what
yes.
I'm going to have to do is do a really thorough review of this for
yes.
Main Menu. But tell us something else.
One of the fascinating things that you can do now is save images and layout information pertaining to the pages that you're scanning. So, for instance, do you mind if I demonstrate this?
No, not at all.
I have scanned in a document. It's a little magazine I was scanning a page of that was about Des Moines. It told about all the different sites in Des Moines. And so I have it set up to keep the image and layout information. I'm going to go to the Tools menu, and I did that with Alt-O. I'm going to up arrow twice.
Explore layout.
And I'm going to explore the layout of the page.
The page contains 5 text regions and 2 pictures.
Okay, so it told me what the page contained. Now I'm going to tab.
Text region 1 contains 29 lines. It begins with a myriad of shots by crest or allocated in bone. Text region 2 contains 23 lines. It is underneath text region 1. It begins with shopping centers / mouth kaleidoscope at the hub on the street between 5th.
And the nice thing about that is that you can tell it to re-recognize the page using those regions and reorganize. So one of the more common things that happens is if you're scanning a textbook and it's a you've got column identification enabled because you've got lots of eye candy there for all the post-literate rodent rubbers, the sightlings. You've got pictures and text wrapping around the pictures and the like. Then you can. And you've scanned your book and you realize, oh, I'm in an index here. And the index has 4 columns and I've got column identification on. Now it's reading to me column 1 with items A through E in the alphabet. Column 2, the numbers that pertain to those items. Column 3, the number items F through J. And then column 4, the numbers that belong to them. Well, hitherto you would have had to rescan the page because we threw away the image once it was recognized. But we realized that a lot of us would like to be able to say, okay, take regions 1 and 2 and re-recognize the page with those together and 3 and 4 with those together, thereby having the index read to you in a proper manner. So you don't have to go find that page or get that book again and do that. You can just re-recognize it. We also have a lot of statistics, recognition statistics that are available to help you fine-tune your scan in terms of brightness level and this sort of thing and see what ramifications they have, because a lot of people don't have good concepts about what print is like. So they don't realize if by context they realize something should be an uppercase O and it's being broken into left paren and right paren, that what that means is the top and bottom of the font are thin and they need to drop their brightness down a notch to darken the image and essentially do the equivalent of thickening the lines that make up the character. Or they don't realize if they're hearing a bunch of punctuation that normally means that characters are being broken up. So What this will allow those that don't have that sense of what print is like to do is use the numbers, use the statistics, how many characters were misrecognized, how many were corrected, how many were touching characters, how many were broken characters, all those sort of things, and home in on a good set of settings. So if they're going to read that document, that type of document again, they can have a good settings file without having to go through and tinker with it.
Speaking of recognition, is there a new scanning engine in version 6 at all?
Yes, there's a new version, version 5, a fine engine, which has a 20% increase in accuracy over the version that was used in 5.01, 5.02. And one of the things that it can do now is recognize vertical fractions. It can handle some types of simple equations, linear equations, with a little more aplomb. We now perform recognition in 176 languages, which include now a number of programming languages such as Fortran and COBOL and Pascal, Java, things like that, and C++. So that will be of use to a lot of students and professionals.
Sounds like a very significant upgrade, because for a long time, I think since its history began, Kurzweil was releasing a couple of updates a year. It's been, over a year now since the last one?
That's correct. This is our 11th release.
Are the updates going to get into the cycle again of two a year, or is it just that now that the product's more mature, there's less to add now?
I think that's the thing. The feeling is adding features for feature's sake and that aren't relevant to the core functions of the product, which are to enable you to access printed and electronic information and manipulate it. And those are the core things. And I think, for instance, when you do change features, for instance, if you choose to use the editing keyboard shortcuts, then you've got to remember, if you're going to use Control B to bold and unbold text to toggle bolding on and off, that you're going to be using Shift Control V to do bookmarks, to place a bookmark in the text. So you're increasing the learning curve when you add features, and that can be problematic for some people.
Well, it sounds like a really interesting upgrade, and we'll look forward to exploring it further. And it's nice to meet you in person. I appreciate you giving up some of your time to tell us what's in there.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to get to meet you, because I do listen to your shows, and my wife and I both do, and we love them, and we think it's that you're doing great work, and ACB Radio is really great, and both in terms of what it provides information about technology, but also giving us a sense of the broader blind community than, let's say, is in our local community, inspiration and ideas. And for myself as a musician, it's really heartening to hear what other blind musicians are doing, on the cafe.
I'm Jonathan Mosen. How's it going?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent. Tell me what's new at Duxbury Systems this year.
Well, Duxbury Systems, the newest thing is our newest version of Duxbury, the Braille translator that came out in the beginning of this year. The new things that are interesting with Duxbury is the fact that we're now able to bring in Word 2000 files directly. Right. We're also able to bring in scientific notebook, LaTeX files directly. This is amazing for people who deal with math and scientific documents. Before, you had to work in order to get these documents coded properly. Now, you can use scientific notebook in order to create these math and scientific documents in a math editor used in most colleges and so on and so forth, so it's very easy to use. Bring that into Duxbury and not have to do the coding yourself.
The last time I looked at Duxbury was a very long time ago, when you had the DOS product.
Oh.
And in those days, it was really quite a business for the average person even to get a nicely formatted Braille document. But I guess that these days, using things like Styles and Word, you can get pretty nicely formatted Braille without too much knowledge at all, right?
Well, you said the word, the Styles. If you know how to, if you want to produce your documents in Word or WordPerfect, learn the Styles. If you're using headings, paragraph styles, poem styles, that type of thing, then you will get the Braille that you want. People think that they can use the tab key and the enter key and the space key and be able to format your document that way, and that really doesn't work. You really want to learn those styles.
So it's the styles that do the conversion, if you like, from print formatting concepts to Braille formatting concepts.
Well, actually, what it does is the styles will do the formatting within Word, so that Duxbury, when you bring it into Duxbury, will automatically understand what you're looking for. It'll see a heading in Word and say, oh, this is a heading in Duxbury.
Right.
That way, when you translate to Braille, the Braille rules will just follow right straight through.
What happens with Excel spreadsheets? Is there any help at hand for making Braille versions of Excel documents or spreadsheets?
So the best thing you can do with a Braille Excel spreadsheet is to save it as a Word 2000 file. It'll come in as a table, and then when you save that again, it'll be able to be brought into Duxbury as a stair-step table. And that's the best we can do right now as far as spreadsheets, because the formatting is just so difficult to even consider.
Right.
Most formats on a spreadsheet wouldn't even fit across a standard Braille sheet.
The unified Braille code, I guess that you have facilities so that people who might be curious to see what the latest revision of the UEBC looks like can generate documents in there, can you?
Well, that's not in Duxbury at this point.
Right.
Since Joe Sullivan, the owner of Duxbury, is part of that, I'm sure that he's already thought about how that's going to be incorporated into Duxbury. But as of now, that's not a part of it. So I guess getting on to... I'm not even sure if there's a website for the UEBC or if there's a chance to go to talks about it to find out more about it. But as far as Duxbury, you won't find more information within the program itself.
Right. And how much does Duxbury sell for?
Duxbury is $595 for a single user license. You can upgrade to our latest version for free if you have purchased before or after June 1st, 1999, and if you've purchased it before then, and you have a Windows program, it'd be $195.
That's right, and you've got a website where can people download demos of the product from the web?
Sure, yeah, www.duxburysystems.com, and you can download our demos for DBT Win, the DOS version, MegaDots, and also Braille Board, which is specifically for sign makers.
Now, it's interesting you talk about MegaDots, because it had slipped my mind that, of course, Duxbury Systems had purchased that. Where would somebody use MegaDots, and when would they use Duxbury? Is there a particular market for each product?
Yeah, well, at this point in time, there is. MegaDots is primarily for transcribers. It was based and meant for it to be working for transcribers. It's the transcribers that really gave the input for that process to come through. The MegaDots also is a DOS-based program. If you're a Windows user and you are a person that doesn't need to worry about the transcription or as a transcriber, then DBT is the format for you. If you are a transcriber and you need to really deal with a lot of the transcription rules as far as textbooks and so on, then MegaDots may still be your program of choice. Hopefully, in time, there will be a merging of the two products in order to be able to give the best of both worlds.
Make a Duxbury.
Oh, you know, who knows? We've had all kinds of strange names, but the thing is that they're both two different, one's a Windows program, one's a DOS program, so it's not easily folded into each other. You really have to just create a new product.
Okay, so what's the current version number of the Duxbury that's out?
10.3.
Yeah, it's been around a while, hasn't it?
Well, actually, it came in on January of this year.
No, I mean Duxbury itself,
Duxbury.
To get up to version 10.
Well, Duxbury has been around since 1975.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
So, we were the first Braille translation software out there, and hopefully we'll be still out there for a long time to come.
And we have, what's your name again?
Jeff Moyer.
Jeff Moyer. You might hear him on the HB Radio Cafe, if you happen to be listening to that. But he's also here today representing Talk Talking Signs Incorporated, marketing representative for them, and he's here to talk about Talking Signs.
Talking Signs.
Yeah. Tell us about this. I'm pretty intrigued by this idea. How does it work?
Well, Talking Signs has been around as a research concept for 20 years. It's a company for 7 years, and it's now being implemented worldwide. It's a wayfinding system for those of us who can't see. I'm blind, and I have been in a number of environments that had talking signs up, and with it, I can navigate, orient absolutely independently. It puts human voice messages out over infrared light, and then you have a receiver, and as you scan back and forth looking for the signs, it tells you not only what's there, but exactly where it is. So you follow the clarity of the beam of the signal, and
wow.
You walk right to the men's room, right to the telephone, the escalator. We have a new product for buses that broadcasts from the front and the side of the bus, so you're standing waiting at the bus stop, and you know what bus is coming. There's a product called Next Bus that's an electronic sign that tells you what buses are coming and how far away they are.
That is
nice. And those
nice.
Are all now accessible.
How much... Actually, first of all, that's intriguing because I was sitting thinking at home about inventing that technology, but I guess I've been beat on that, which is cool.
That's cool. We need to advocate for that.
Yes, we do. I would be very happy to do that. Okay, the bus thing intrigues me because I get downtown coming off my bus. I'm ready for the transfer. There's 16 buses in a line.
Exactly.
So I can stand in front of the bus and hit a button.
The front or the walk along the side?
Right, walk along the side.
Yes, the side as well.
And if each bus has one of these, I hit as long as the signal is, unless I'm close enough to it, right?
Yep. Well, if they broadcast for 100 feet,
But if you have that many buses close to each other, how can it handle that?
And because it's wayfinding, it will tell you exactly where the door is and what the bus is.
It will find the closest one.
Yeah. Well, no, you find it. You use mobility skills to find it, but
well,
it's
I understand
exactly
that.
Where
yeah.
It is, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But what we're doing right now is targeting airports, universities, airlines.
Yes.
Train stations, bus stations, dog guide schools for
right.
blind, you know, places where dynamic travel is required.
Exactly.
As well as places where a lot of folks are.
So first of all, as far as the consumer end of things, how much would this infrared receiver cost?
Well, what we're doing, we're just getting ready to introduce in the end of August what will be called the personal talking sign system. You'll get a receiver, a transmitter, and a name tag. In fact, I'm wearing a name tag right now attached to the transmitter that's in my pocket. So I've got a receiver here in front of me, and if I were looking around for Jeff Moyer...
Where's the receiver? Okay.
So it's broadcasting all the time off a little LED on my shirt.
Okay.
And if you take it out of your pocket and put it on your table in your restaurant or your airplane seat or you're visiting a friend's apartment, you want to know where it is, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal system that allows you to find your way back to wherever you started.
I see.
Now, what we're asking people to do, to advocate, because, you know, my deal with this is I've been involved in the disability rights movement for 25 years. I was involved in the demonstration that led to the signing of 504 and the IDEA regs. And we've been waiting. You know, we've been pretty patient. When you look at the ADA, what that really is addressing are the needs of people in chairs and people with deafness, and that's all fine. But it's our turn. And this is an accommodation that when it's installed, it gives us independent orientation and wayfinding. If every blind person that uses a bus or a train or the airlines, after they got their ticket squared away, said, I'd like to talk to a supervisor, I have a concern, and said, you know, talking signs is available. Why would you install them here? I'd like to see
right.
you install them within the airport, within the train station, within the bus station, on the buses. And we develop a groundswell. That's when it's going to happen. We have to speak
right.
up and ask.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So the technology, I guess, the important part, the first thing that they're going to ask me, I know this a little bit of advocacy, is how much it's going to cost them.
Good. It's a really good question. If you're looking at the installation
yes.
of the permanent signs in buildings, it runs our all costs yeah. included between yeah. $2,500 to $3,000
per sign. Okay.
Now you know people are going to a lot of. I think what happens is we say, oh my God, there aren't that many of us, and that's awfully expensive. If you're talking about getting people in wheelchairs into the third floor of a building that doesn't have an elevator, a three-story building about $1 million.
Right, right.
If you're talking about putting in a cement ramp, it can easily run $100,000.
Oh, exactly.
Every curb cut costs $5,000 to $8,000. Relay services enable deaf people to communicate by telephone. All you're talking about people employed 7 days a week, 365 days a year, to enable that access. This is a one-time cost. It goes in the building and then it broadcasts forever.
$2,500, that's really not that bad for the return that you're going to get in that, and a lot of grants are available for that type of stuff anyway.
And you know, the fact of the matter is the Census Bureau has told us that 5% of the American population can't read signs because of vision. Plus you've got all the people with cognitive disabilities, learning disabilities, and you know, the baby boomer generation, a third of us are going to wind up with night vision generation. So it's a huge population, and it's a system that time has come. One other point about it is that every sign also throws out a numeric code that's unique,
right?
And that can be used by everybody as we get into wireless web access, but like an interior GPS.
Right. So you get the sight of people involved, it'll make the technology get down in price.
It'll open up everybody.
Most importantly, lower the prices.
Exactly.
People are willing to advocate for this. They're going to the bus stations, the train stations, universities. They tell them about these the talking signs. What would be the best way for them to find out more about you?
If you want to get a hold of us, it's www.talkingsigns.com. You can reach me at jeff@talkingsigns.com. And if you have an area in your area, if you're interested in impacting, let us know. We'll send you out materials. If you get serious about it, we'll come in and do an educational seminar where we draw all the decision makers together from the community, and we'll make it happen.
Jerry Kerbeck, who is the president of the Blind and Low Vision Group from Freedom Scientific. Jerry, what is the latest things going on at Freedom Scientific?
Well, Jay, we have a lot of new development going on. As you know, we're committed to developing product as the core thing that we do as a business. And we have work going on virtually every area that we do as a company. Right now at the show, we started showing some of the early things about the new JAWS 4.0 release that will be coming out in the next month or two.
What's the big thing in JAWS 4.0?
Well, there's lots of things changing.
Oh, of course.
A lot of things. I think one of the most significant things is we've been listening to a lot of our users who are asking to make the product simpler, easier to use. So I think you'll see a new user interface, some new help systems that make it easier to use, especially for the new person coming up to speed on the product. You're going to see it's working tremendously better with Adobe Acrobat.
Oh, great.
In terms of how well it performs, how fast it loads.
That seems to be one of the major issues for screen readers in life.
Yes. It's been a tough thing, but I think you'll see that it'll load a document 10 times faster than 3.7 does, as an example.
Very nice.
So there's some real performance enhancements.
So you can do that with Adobe without downloading the Access plugin or anything?
Yeah.
So that's right, internal with JAWS. That's very nice.
So I think you'll see those. There's some new framework going on that help people set up some customization without having to do scripting, kind of as an intermediate step there. So there's lots of things going on in the new JAWS release.
Okay.
And we're working on all sorts of other things. There's a new open book we're working on. Matter of fact, we have a session tonight over at the hotel among open book users where we're trying to get their input into some of the features that we need to build into that product. Ongoing work on every one of our note-taker line, our new Braille display lines being worked on. So virtually every product category that we work on, we're doing something new on right now.
Most definitely. And yes, Freedom Scientific is continuing the long-standing Blazy tradition of offering the updates, and they're doing them here at the convention this year.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We have a new summer update on some of the pre-millennium products that we're making available right here and installing it for people right here on the show.
Exactly. And if it's free if you have a service contract too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. The thing that interests me, you guys have some games out for the Braille and Speaks and all those the legacy products now.
That's right.
That excited me.
That was one of the things that was requested by a lot of people, and so that's in part of the something.
So now we have this blackjack game. I don't have to lose my real money. I can just go on there and lose my fake money.
That's right. Lose it to yourself.
Oh, that's right. We have the casino night tomorrow. We're losing our money. So you have a new open book. What kind of features will you be talking with the users about?
Well, we're asking for their input, actually. This is not going to be a session where we're talking to them about our ideas, although we have some, certainly. We're looking for their input on the things that they find that Open Book needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been, you know, we hear some things here on the floor, but it's always better if we have a little separate dedicated session and gather that input directly from users. And it's something we do on every one of our products now, where we have input sessions on every product as it's in its development cycle.
Daniel, I would like you to go in. Can you go into any more detail about the new frames in JFW4?
At this point, we really can't. It is not totally complete, and so I can't go into it really in a lot of detail. I can tell you some of the people. It's in a private beta test right now, and some of the people look at it have said it's been a phenomenal feature in helping them really do customization and getting it to perform on unique applications. You know, that maybe JAWS wasn't developed to support.
That's correct.
Specifically, where they can go in and do it, and not need a great deal of training or experience to do that.
But sounds like Freedom is doing a lot with user input. You guys have so many products, so many product lines. What is the best way if I'm a user of a product and I want a new feature? I have a suggestion for a feature for one of my Freedom Scientific products. What should I be doing?
There's a lot of things. Certainly, if they're ever at these meetings, and we're certainly at every one of the major meetings around the country, we'd love to hear from them in person. That's always a helpful way. And at a show like this, you know, our product managers are right here, and they can have direct dialogue with some of our product people who are helping design those things. If they're not available to do that, they can certainly email us with their suggestions, which we hear about from all the time, or call and talk to one of the various product managers, or email the product manager.
Or get on the mailing list, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We also see many of those things off the listservs, where we pick up a lot of that feedback as well.
Exactly.
So there's lots of ways to get a hold of us.
So what would be the best way? Since you can give me the phone numbers and the website, I suppose, if people want to contact if they want to order products. Or if they want to order products or have any questions about Freedom.
The 800 number is 800-444-4443.
What if you're outside the United States?
They can call the 727-803-8001 number. I mean, the 8000 number, 803-8000.
Okay.
They can call that number directly. Or they can certainly get us at freedomscientific.com. So there's lots of ways to do it. Go on our website there. They can leave suggestions for us there.
We're here live with Reg George, who's a tech support specialist for Gateway, who has some information to tell us about some Gateway accessibility. Reg, why don't you explain that to us?
Hello.
Hello.
Gateway wants to make accessible computers, believe it or not.
That's very cool.
I know there's a lot of you Dell owners out there that probably don't think so, but we're working really hard on it. And check out our website at gateway.com. It's a lot easier to read even than it was 2 weeks ago. So if you haven't seen gateway.com lately, you haven't seen it.
So what is Gateway doing to I think you guys got the website, you're making more accessible. What are you doing for the actual computers to try to make them more accessible?
They want to provide accessible support documentation and solutions right off the shelf with JAWS or Window Eyes or the screen reader of your choice. We're not there yet, but we're going to be working with a systems integrator to make that happen.
What sort of timeline are you talking for this type of implementation?
I would say within the next 6 months.
Okay, and then if users are interested in this sort of thing, or maybe they want to give their input on the process, is there a way they can do that?
Certainly. Please contact the webmaster with your feedback about the website, or you can write me directly and I'll pass anything on. My email address is reginald.george@gateway.com. reginald.george@gateway.com. Anything you send me, I'll be sure to pass on to the right people, because I'm totally blind myself, and it's in my interest to see that we become more accessible to everybody.
You're talking to us, one more thing about this, section 508.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's in the United States, the government amended the Rehabilitation Act, saying that any computers they buy are going to have to be accessible for government workers.
Okay. I know there's something about government websites, but they have to make them accessible too. So they have to buy computers too that are accessible?
That's right. Computers, fax machines, copiers, phones, anything that the average government worker is going to encounter in their workday needs to be accessible.
That's very good. And when does that have to be implemented by?
Actually, it was June 21st.
So that says that. So now any new computer that they buy has to fit that specification, right?
Yes. And there's a lot of confusion as to, you know, what that certification really means. But Gateway has 5 systems out there that are Section 508 compliant, certified. Mm-hmm. And we're working with our with a lot of people doing testing in the blindness community out in California. To make sure that our systems are accessible and to try different software and find out what's going to work. But they're serious about it. It's going to be an ongoing commitment.
Well, we love it when the major companies get involved and they dedicate their support to accessibility, because it's really a step in the right direction. And we appreciate you stopping by today for the booth and broadcasting live on ACB Radio Interactive.
Thank you.
And there's still a little more exhibit hall coverage to come in future weeks on Main Menu.